The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Union Broadcasting, Inc., Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, or its employees. The host is solely responsible for the on-air content.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one. Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Hey, good afternoon, Kansas City. Thanks for joining us here on ESPN 1510. Thanks for tuning in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. In accordance with Kansas City Royals rules and regulations, we have changed the lineup up tonight.
You can't have the same one for all.
We are no longer batting Alex Gordon first because, honestly, I mean, you know, why? We'd only won 7 of 10.
Batting like 370 in first of the year. No big deal.
Gracious sakes. So we have a little bit of a different configuration here on our second-to-last show of this season anyway here on the Vault.
That's sad. Don't bring that up.
Next week is sad.
Next week will be the goodbye week.
This week is lineup shakeup week. So over to my left, we have the dulcet tones of Jeff Herr. In the middle chair, we have Jeff Herr's father, Randy, here on the Vault. Welcome, Randy. Hello. Welcome to the Baseball Vault, sir.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I finally got an intelligent Herr on the program this week. So
I knew that was coming right off the bat.
And over to my right, the grizzled veteran as he is, Jeff Logan of the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. Hello, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This will be actually your last show because you'll call in next week.
I'm going to call in next week. I will be down at the Westport Flea Market with
and
George.
And why will you be doing that?
We'll be down there with Joe Randa and George Toma. So anyone
just kind of hanging
and
just doing Jaeger bombs or
that's
or
it.
What?
We're gonna start
doing
early
Jaeger
and
bombs out at the
you know
Westport
I think happy hour
market.
Is 5 to 7 down there. So if you get there
nice.
Early, I think they have a hamburger special too.
So you can get in the car at 6, drive down to the flea market, listen to the final baseball vault of the year, get out at 7, and go to the historical society meeting and meet Joe Randa and George Stone.
Can you get Joe Randa on the show possibly?
Well,
we've tried that.
You know that's
before.
Not gonna happen. No, that's crazy. And batting cleanup tonight, we have Shane Summers behind the glass. How are you, sir?
I just wanted to make sure that, Jeff, when you're down there next week, we're not doing a two-way call, are we?
Six-way call. We're going to get Reggie Jackson. We're going to get Reggie Jackson.
Joe Randa.
David Price. And my dad is going to be on the radio.
Yes.
So.
Nolan Ryan's going to pop in,
and
too.
Nolan Ryan. Sorry,
yes. It's actually all going to be from Nolan Ryan's office, actually.
And we're gonna have a few interviews from Mike Hawk to Harrelson.
And we're gonna have to explain all those inside jokes at some point in time. On the program tonight. Oh, and Troy and Michael are on assignment tonight, sitting at home. I guess only what I can only guess is just weeping in their underwear on the couch. So
that would be a guess.
Troy's
but
actually
no,
probably
no
at the game
in
his underwear. So another story.
That's on the outside. So that's okay.
On this week's show, we have a nostalgia hour. We're going to go back in time to 1961, and we're going to talk to Diamond Jim Gentile. Actually, he was with the Kansas City Athletics later in his career in 64 and 65, but we're going to talk to him a little bit about his 61 season. He was the third. He finished third in the voting, in the MVP voting in 1961, and I'm absolutely fascinated by what I was reading on this guy. Six-time All-Star, finished third in the MVP voting, and there is some asterisk associated with his RBI count in 1961.
I believe
as well,
he won the title, and he could have won the MVP that year.
Baseball Reference has him tied with Mickey Mantle or with Roger Maris.
No, Maris.
I'll have
you're
to
right.
That. And but our esteemed colleague over to the right seems to think that he won. So we'll talk to him in the second segment. We'll also. Talk with Randy Herr about, you know, what it was like. I don't know. You know, we grow up in the Twitter and the information age, and we blog about what we see. I want to know what it was like to be a real kid in Kansas City growing up listening to baseball games, watching baseball games. My dad was telling me stories about how he'd sneak into Municipal Stadium and you know, as the young
Which
vagrant
we endorse,
that he was.
By the way.
I used to sneak into Royal Stadium. I used to, through the Central Tunnel. Remember the Central Tunnel where you could go left? You can go left and go over to Arrowhead. You can go right. So you just walk in. You look like you know what you were doing.
Oh, I had mass media back then. You know, we had mass media. And
like, oh, God. I didn't know that's what you said.
Almost like Twitter, but it was called a party line. You pick up the phone. There might be 14 people on there. And you just start blabbing away. And you could spread the word quickly. And then
we may have to have a signal if it gets too old and crotchety in here. We may just have to raise our hands.
When you needed to get a score update, called the Kansas City.
That's not what I thought I heard him say.
We're not going there.
That's a different party line.
That's a different
show. That's a different party line, and it pays by the
minute. If you needed a score, you had to call the Kansas City Star and ask for the score. That's how you got score updates. That's it.
Like,
you know, that's true.
Oh,
and like when you used to have to call for time and temperature, I got to set my my phone. I got to call or set my
844-1212 is what it was, and then they give you the
ace.
This is UMB time and temperature, and
we used to call him Ace.
I don't know.
And he
jump
would,
in here anytime, Randy, because really we're fading fast, and this is going bad.
I also remember having to call the Star to get any updates, any time, any scores.
Did they give you like you know, Jeff Francoeur's having a great game today? Did they give you any of that kind of stuff?
They didn't really give you any kind of fantasy type information.
So if you wanted the Orioles Yankees and it was, you know, you just would have to call the Star and
there was a score there was a score line and they put it in the paper and you would call that number and ask.
Do you think there was like a
switchboard?
You know what? I'll bet you in a previous life Michael Engel had that job.
Oh,
I'll bet you that was his job.
I think that's his job now, actually.
Sitting answering the phone, Kansas City Star. Yeah, it was 3-2 Orioles. Kansas City Star. Yeah, it was
but the bottom line is
6-5.
There was a lot
six
more
five
smart
six
people
five
back
David
in those
Price
days.
Pitched a great game.
You know, you'd call the Kansas City Star and you say, Hey, who led the league in hits in 1955? And you'd hear some guy go, Hey, who led the league in hits in 55? And they'd all scream around.
Are you joking?
The thing. Oh, no.
You'd run into a smoky newsroom and go.
So basically, it was
and then they'd
it was
scream
baseball
it from the
reference.
Background and they'd say it. Yeah. Well,
I have baseball reference right now. I could pull up 1955. So that was what you did.
That's
that
how you did
how
it. Yeah. Man. And you could hear them in the background debating and screaming it around the newsroom. And then they'd tell you.
That's
Jeff, before we get too far, why don't you bring us around the horn with Kansas City baseball. Do you have that pulled up there? You want my sheet?
No, I got it.
Give us a T-Bones update there.
T-Bones, they're three games back now behind Wichita. Those darn
they're getting
wing nuts,
closer, but they're running out
those
of
those darn wing
nuts
are
games.
Just they're good. They're too good almost.
Tight.
17 games left for them to get back.
They
get
are
back
on
for,
their
to
last
first place.
Homestand, I think.
Is it the last one?
And they have fireworks Saturday, NASCAR theme night on Friday. Oh, wow,
that's going to be a party right there.
That right there is good.
Going down to a little bit of the minor leagues, Storm Chasers. Everyone's favorite pitcher on the Royals pitching staff right now, or not right now, I should say, Jake Odorizzi. He had a no-hitter going into the seventh inning on Tuesday, but ended up finishing with seven innings pitched, no runs. His ERA is below 3 in Omaha, 2.92.
I don't think he's ready yet.
He's not ready. You know what? I was actually looking at his you knew this was coming when you said that.
I did.
I was actually looking at his stats earlier. His overall numbers for 2012 look really, really good, and they are. But his numbers in AAA, some of his what we stat geeks call the peripheral numbers, you're not your big ERA and things like that, but the whip, walks and hits per innings pitch.
Yeah.
It's at like 1.41, which is not astronomical. It's not Jonathan Sanchez's over 2 or anything, but it's a little – you'd like to see that
he
number a little bit.
Named.
You'd like to see – you'd like to see that number a little bit lower. So it's a similar deal with Will Myers and the strikeouts. And it's something that it's not a huge concern. I don't look at it and say, oh, he's going to be a failure in the major leagues. I still think he should be up here, both Odorizzi and Will Myers. But if you're the Royals and you want to keep him down, they've at least got that they can point to and say, well, you know, we really like Odorizzi, but we want that whip to go down before we bring him up. We really like Will Myers. We'd like him to strike out less than 25% of the time.
And if the fans rush him up and then he fails, it'll most likely be in one of those categories that he was showing weakness in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, well, you look at
so Alex, you're advocating leaving him in the minor leagues.
I don't necessarily.
There's no reason to bring him up now, quite frankly.
I mean, now I could care less because it's. I mean, it is what it is at this point. But I think
we're only 11 and a half back.
Right. Is it true they're going to shut down Will Myers if he hits too many home runs this year?
They're going to shut him down like Steven Strasburg.
Shut him down, aren't they?
Stress. I heard. I said it on Twitter earlier this week. If he hits 37 home runs, I'm counting it. It's a new Royals record. I'm doing
we're
it.
Gonna, we're
I
gonna,
don't know what the minor leagues are.
By request, Shane has requested we delve into this Strasburg deal in the last segment. So we'll save some time
that,
for that because I know that's probably right in your wheelhouse.
We'll continue this around the horn here with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. J.C. Soberon, who you'll remember was acquired in the Jonathan Broxton trade with the Cincinnati Reds, he goes tonight for the Naturals. He's a starter. Not quite sure what to expect from him. He hasn't done a ton in the minors that makes you think he's going to be a huge acquisition. But
Hey, our boy Jason Adam with the Blue Rocks.
Yep, 6 scoreless innings yesterday. Only 2 walks in his last 18 innings. Jason Adam is really having a great season. Kansas City native, a favored son of the city. I mean, if he and Bubba Starling were to get into Kansas City and be in their primes and be really good players at the same time. I mean, two homegrown players like that, I mean, it'd be awesome. It'd be great for this town, I'll tell you that right now. Well, it'd even be greater if we had a winner, but
yeah,
anyway.
That'd be nice, too.
Going down another level to Kane County, Kyle Zimmer, everyone's favorite pitching prospect behind Jake Odorizzi. 6.2 innings pitched, 10 Ks, 10 strikeouts. No walks, no runs in his last start earlier this week. And, I mean, Kyle Zimmer, I think he's too good for low A right now. And he is moving. I think he's going to move through pretty quick, and I think he should. I mean, the expectation for college pitchers is to move through the system a little bit faster than your high school guys. You know, your Danny Duffy's, Mike Montgomery's. They were 3, 4, sometimes even 5 years, you know, if you're Montgomery. Who knows at this point? But for a college pitcher like him, even one who's not quite as seasoned, like a Kyle Zimmer, or I think it was the Royals' 4th-round pick this year, Sam Selman. He was a guy out of Vanderbilt.
Oh, sure, Sam.
I mean, he's crazy legs. Crazy
sideways
legs
Selman is what we used to call him back in the day.
Wade Montgomery in Double A now.
Montgomery's in Double A now. Has not improved.
I'm just looking at this rundown that Engel put together. There's no mention of Unieski Betancourt. How did he do in his inaugural game in Omaha?
I got to be honest, I have no idea.
I will tell you how he did. He got shown the street. He was given his unconditional release yesterday.
Well,
wah, wah.
Good for him. Yeah, exactly. You know what? Now he's got the freedom to go anywhere he wants to go. And that, you know what?
God
you
bless
can't
him.
Buy that kind of freedom. Okay?
I've got $10
that
says the Royals sign him next year.
Hey, we're going to stick a pin in this because we have somebody way more important to talk to on the line. We are excited to bring to the program the Kansas City Baseball Vault Diamond Jim Gentile on the program, who was Mr. Gentile. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine.
It's an honor to speak with you, sir. We've had several Kansas City Athletics on the program, and it's been really fun to go through, you know, the week that we know that we're going to have you guys on, because you know they have such interesting stories to tell. And my goodness, I have no idea where to start with your career, sir. It's been, you started with the Brooklyn Dodgers. You know, you're in the Baltimore Orioles Hall of Fame. You finished 3rd in MVP voting behind Maris and Mantle, and you played here in Kansas City. What are you most often asked about when real interviewers ask you or interview you on the radio? It just seems like an extremely interesting career that you had.
Well, I think most of the thing is when I went to the Orioles, you know, I went on a look-see. They bought me from the Dodgers. And it was one of those deals, if you go to spring training and you got 30 days, and if they want to keep you, fine. If not, they send you back with $25,000. And for the life of me, I don't know why Paul Richards decided to keep me, because we had Boog Powell, Bobby Boyd, Walt Dropo, John Powers, and myself over there at first base, 5 of us. And I had the worst spring you could ever. I was like Dick Stewart. Everything they threw me hit my glove and went clonk. And so I didn't think he was going to keep me, but he called me in the office, and he said, you know, you hit 200 home runs in the minor leagues. He said, I need power. He said, I'm going to give you, you only got 36 times at bat with the Dodgers, and I'm going to give you 150. On the 29th day, if you're hitting, you're my first baseman. If not, I'm going to send you back.
Well, and the rest is history. I mean, you went on to a tremendous career with the Orioles. You were basically blocked your first 2 years with the Brooklyn Dodgers because you were behind the great Gil Hodges up there, and so you did go to Baltimore where you finished second in Rookie of the Year voting that year.
Yeah, well, the thing is they the Dodgers never changed their infield for 7 years, the whole outfield too, you know, and I spent 7 years waiting for a shot. I played 7 years in their organization. As long as you had options, as you remember back then, there was nothing you could do. In fact, I just saw last night the documentary on Kurt Flood and how he tried to get his free agency, you know, in the reserve clause.
Well, and we'll talk a little bit about this through the interview, but you played with six different teams before the era of free agency in 9 or 10 years. Were you just traded around that much, or?
Well, 4 years with the Orioles, and I knew that my days were numbered there with Boog Powell coming up. You know, I was in the game long enough to know what was what. Boog was 22 and I was 30, because I didn't get there until I was 25. So I knew somewhere along the line, he played the outfield in 63. And Boog played a very good outfield, but he wasn't going to get balls hit in left center or anything like that. We knew he was a first baseman. And so I was just hoping to hang on for another couple of years because the team was coming together. And But they decided to send me to Kansas City. As I don't know if you remember, but everybody got traded to Kansas City if you got traded.
Well, yeah, we do remember a little bit about that.
Hey, Jim, it's Jeff Logan.
Yes.
Hey, it's Jeff Logan from the Historical Society, Jim. So
yeah, Jeff.
I do have one question, and I was telling the guys this. Wasn't it in 61? Did you lead the league in RBIs, or was it a tie?
It was a tie.
It was a tie.
At the end of the season, they had Maris at 142 and me at 141. But about 1995, some Chicago sports writer went through every box score and everything. He found that in Cleveland, the box score guy gave Maris two RBIs when he only should have got one. So it went to, do you know the name of the company that keeps the stats? I don't. I can't remember.
It's Stats Inc. and Elias Sports Bureau, yeah.
Is that it? Well, they finally went back and checked and found that it was. They let him score on an error, an overthrow at first base. He was on third. And so they decided that we tied, and the Orioles were very nice. They asked me to come back to throw out the first ball, and I got there. They gave me $5,000.
They gave you a trophy and, you know, all that.
Well, the thing was, back in 61 when I signed a contract with Lee McPhail, the father, he said, well, if you would have led the league in RBIs, it might have been worth $5,000 more. made good on it. Yes, it was very nice.
That's awesome. My question to you: what's that like when you obviously you kind of talked about going back to Baltimore, but you know, 30 years after the fact, all of a sudden somebody calls you up and says, "Hey, you led the RBI. You were tied with Roger Maris in one of the most historical seasons." I mean, they made a movie about Roger Maris in that season. I mean, what's that like when that hits you? I mean, is it just kind of like, oh, you know, that's great, or do you go back and you look at that and think, you know what, I really did something historic. Like, that's really cool.
Well, you know, if it would have probably happened a week after the season, I would have been a little more excited. I mean, I'm excited that my children and my grandkids will have something to talk about. But, you know, that far gone, I figured they'd never change it because they don't do anything that has to do with the Yankees.
Well, that's true. So you get traded to Kansas City just like everybody the last few years that you were here. What do you recall about Municipal Stadium and working for Charlie Finley and you know all these things that are so infamous?
I enjoyed Kansas City. In fact, when just I'll jump a little ahead, when they told me they sold me to Houston, I asked Finley, I didn't want to go. I said, Charlie, I want to stay here. I like it here. And at the time, Maris and I, Mantle and I were leading the league in home runs. First part of the season, we each had 9. And I said, I like it here. And he said, well, I need the money to pay a kid coming out of college. He got 150 and 2 players for me.
Jeez.
But anyway, I loved playing in Kansas City. Charlie was a little weird, but he was ahead of his time. He just, you know, with the mule and the orange baseball and the 6 different uniforms we wore all the time. But the people were fine. And when I say you get traded to Kansas City, if you take all the players that Kansas City traded over the years, they might have had a pennant winner.
Oh, no question about it.
You know what I mean? The guys they sold to the Yankees and this, that, and the other. And that's because the club wasn't making the money that the other clubs were, and they had to do something to keep it going.
Now, the 1964 season, when you were here, there was a few of you guys, you know, like Rocky Calavito and yourself and Lou Krause, and, you know, some of the nightclubs here still have a sign that have pictures of you guys that you're not allowed in. You guys weren't out causing trouble back then, were you?
No. You got to. I don't know about Lou Krause, but you got to take Calavito off that. Rocky was a saint. He was my roommate, and he roomed with my suitcases. But other than that, it was okay. No. I do admit I ran pretty hard.
We're talking with Jim Gentile here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault, talking about his illustrious career. So you played a couple of years in Houston, played with the Indians your last year in Major League Baseball, and then you actually played in Japan for a year. What was that like?
It could have been better. It was. Finished up with San Diego as a player coach for 2 years, and then all of a sudden I got this deal to go to Japan, you know, for $30,000, and I thought, this is great. Well, I still belong to the Phillies, and the Phillies wouldn't release me. I'm at 35 years old, and they wouldn't release me, and they said if I paid them $5,000, they'd give me my release.
Yeah, it's not how that works, is it?
I said, what are you going to do with me? You're going to take me to spring training, and then you're going to release me. I said, you're not going to keep me. You've got Aaron's brother playing first base in AAA there. They said, no, well, we paid something for you, so we got to have it on our books. So I had to pay him $5,000 just to get to Japan. And I got there, and everything was fine. Opening day, I ruptured my Achilles tendon.
Oh, man.
I went after a pop fly in Fukuoka, and I tripped on some cement, and it just popped it.
I always picture you, when I knew you played in Japan, like the Tom Selleck movie, as a big home run hitting left-hander over there. Was it kind of like that? Did you see that movie?
Oh, yeah, and I did the same thing. When I saw that movie, I said, there it is. Because I wouldn't do the squats and all those exercises they did. I just couldn't see them. I'd go out and run them 5 or 6, you know, laps, and I was ready to go. But these guys, they do exercises, they do squats, they do push-ups. They do an hour of exercise before they do anything else. And in the picture there, Sarah wasn't too happy about it either. But the biggest thing is you don't know what your interpreter is telling your manager. You know, no one spoke English. I was the only American. I'd have to tell him something. He'd say something to my manager, and he'd look at me like I was crazy. So when I came back, he didn't play me. He just pinch-hit me. The whole year, I got up 83 times. I hit 11 home runs and drove in 30-some-odd runs at 280, but he didn't want me to come back.
Now, it looks like from your bio that wasn't your last foray with Missouri, because you're also a manager for a brief time with the Frontier League out of Columbia, Missouri. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, I was for 2 years.
Did
really
you did you like managing better or playing better?
Oh, I would rather play. I didn't realize how many mistakes I could make. I managed 2 years at Fort Worth to start with, and then I came over to Missouri, and one night we were having a game, and I kept giving this guy the signal. He kept looking at me like I was crazy. So when they named Missouri, I said, I'm giving you the hit and run. He said, no, coach, you're giving me the bunt. I said, oh, that's right.
Oops.
That's right. Oops.
Jim, I got a question for you. I'm looking at your baseball reference page right now, and from 1960 to 62, when you were with Baltimore, those were your best years, and you were an all-star all year. But back then, that was when they were playing two all-star games in a year.
Yeah.
So, first of all, what was that like with not just the one, but both all-star games? And then second, do you refer to yourself as a three-time all-star or a six-time all-star?
I usually say three, but in the back of my baseball card, it says five. So, I'd say three because it's all one year. And we'd play one in the American League and one in the National League. The one I didn't play in, I was getting ready to pinch hit, and that's the Boston game that got rained out.
Well, there you go. We're finishing up our conversation with Diamond Jim Gentile here on the Baseball Vault. We had a little email thread going on amongst the guys here on the show today, and we've decided that Diamond Jim has got to be one of the best baseball nicknames of all time. How did you get that?
Oh, it goes back to 1956. I went to Japan with the Dodgers. And I played first base. They moved Hodges over to third after the second game. And I just tore the league up. I hit 11 home runs in 19 games and hit 400. I think they told me my slugging percentage was over 1,000. And we were at a nightclub one night, and I was with Campy and a couple other guys, and this newspaper guy came up and asked him, how about this Italian kid playing first base, hitting the ball all over the place? And Campy said, well, he's a diamond in the rough.
Ah.
And it caught on with the papers there. And then when we came to spring training, Charlie DeBrow, the clubhouse guy, had a big sign over my locker, welcome home, Diamond Jim. Well, of course, I went back to the minors, so never thought about it. But then in 61, when we went to Minneapolis, my old clubhouse guy from St. Paul was there. He had a big sign over my locker, welcome home, Diamond Jim. And I go out and hit two grand slams, and then it just carried on from there.
And you went on to finish third in MVP voting that year, just an amazing career, member of the Orioles Hall of Fame, and we're so privileged to have you on the program. And I understand you've made it back to a couple of A's reunions, and you're welcome back anytime, man.
Oh, I'd love to. I'm sorry, but I got a little sick this year, but I'm looking forward to next year. I really am. I love Kansas City. I love the steakhouses, and the people were so nice in Kansas City. You know, I mean, I looked up the record, and I don't mean this as a slam, but from the 10 years we were there, the closest they ever got were 35 and a half games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it has nothing to do, it's just because there wasn't any money to keep. Once you got an outstanding player, you know, you had Maris, you had to sell him. You know, because they're going to ask for, back then, not big money, but $50,000, $60,000. And I don't think the club could afford it, that many guys making that money. But Kansas City, to play there, and now you got the Royals, and they're doing fine. They're starting to really come around.
We may be looking for a manager soon, so maybe with your resume looking the way it is, maybe we can get you back here and manage that ball club a little bit.
Well, it'd be wonderful. I'd love to come back to Kansas City.
Definitely a hitting coach. Wasn't that your last job, was a hitting coach?
Yes, in Schaumburg up in the Northern League. Yeah,
fantastic.
I love that.
Well, Jim, thank you very much for your time this afternoon, and good luck to you in everything in the future that you do, sir.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you for calling and digging us old guys up once in a while. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. It's been a real treat for us.
Okay, well, give my best to Jeff, will you?
We'll do it. Thanks
right.
Again.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Diamond Jim Gentile. This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We will be right back right after these messages.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
We saw two or three different replays. It was a bang-bang play at first, yet the replays show rather conclusively that the Royals got a tremendous, gigantic break.
The Vault.
The Brad Westmar Show with your host, Brad Westmar.
We had a great time with your wife, Matt, and we were glad to have Stacey on.
No, that wasn't what I meant.
And co-host Jared Afkar plus Magic Matt.
I was trying to put together a little trip for us this summer, and I was asking her about going to a concert, and she's like, I think I'd just rather go see a Royals game.
Wow.
That's sick. That's mentally off the reservation.
All right, Jared.
It's radio like you've never heard before.
Very sad.
That's what I hear.
Download the latest episode of the Brad Westmar Show at bradwestmar.com.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket.
I'm Ray Van Emmen, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
T-Bones Baseball, celebrating 10 years of fun well done. Bring the whole family out for sizzling action this summer at Community America Ballpark, where parking is always free and tickets start at just $6.50. Kids eat free Monday. Great giveaways and 20-ounce beers on Tuesday. Dollar hot dogs and post-game catch on the field Wednesday. Dollar beer Thursday. Falcons skydivers on Friday. Post-game fireworks on Saturday. Pre-game player autographs and post-game kids run the bases on Sunday. Follow the T-Bones on Facebook for up-to-the-minute promotions and game day events. Group tickets, party decks, and nightly suites available. Get your tickets at the box office. Any Community America branch. Call 913-328-5618 or purchase and print your tickets at tbonesbaseball.com.
Join the T-Bones as they host the Laredo Lemurs all weekend at Community America Ballpark. It's NASCAR night on Friday, post-game fireworks on the field Saturday, and other good stuff going on Sunday. T-Bones Baseball, that's fun. Well done. T-Bones Baseball. I didn't know. It says Biker Day at Community America Ballpark. So Barker Day at. Oh, they forgot a space. I understand now. Hi, I'm a professional radio person. No, I'm not. Welcome back to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm Chris Candler, joined by Jeff Herr, Jeff Logan. Randy Herr is also with us. And that was Diamond Jim Gentile. Best nickname, best baseball nickname of all time. And so, Jeff, you were actually implying that maybe there might be, you know, a little bit more interesting story behind, you know, maybe how he got the nickname.
Goodness,
you know,
knows. Said it was a nightclub. Know they were wild guys, and you know, a lot of them deny it. You know, Lou Krause is in total denial.
Well, in the late 50s and early 60s in Kansas City, that was a night town. I mean, it was
yeah.
You know, with everything going on on Vine Street, and you know, it was nuts. So
they may be in denial because their family may be listening.
Well, that's a good.
Oh, I
nobody's
think your family
listening.
Knows.
let's be honest, crazy. Here.
There's six people that are listening. They're all in this room here.
Diamond Jim's single.
He's still single. I'd love it, man. That's great. Let me tell you a little bit about senior healthcare specialists. They are tremendous sponsors of the program for all your senior healthcare needs, as well as getting through those retirement years. Give Ray a call at 913-449-6508. They specialize in Medicare, long-term care, insurance, life insurance and annuities, and are licensed in Kansas City, Kansas and Missouri. They're great, great sponsors. They've helped us out this entire run of the show, and we couldn't be more thankful to Ray and his group over there at Senior Healthcare Specialists. Give them a call. Give them your business, 913-449-6508. We were coming up with ideas for the second to last show, and we were like, well, you know, we should have our dads come in and kind of tell us what it was like in the old days. You know, just we'll sit around the campfire, and my dad was all slated to come in, but my mom reminded him that it's Il Divo night tonight at the Sprint Center Starlight or something.
You can't compete with that.
Have any idea who Il Divo is?
If I'd have known,
Shane, do we have any Il Divo in the cart machine? No.
If I'd have known they were in town, I might have scrapped my appearance.
I know. I was like, you mean I'm missing Il Divo to be here on the radio?
We got a
great gentleman here. Your dad. You want to tell us a little bit about your dad? Jeff?
What is there to say, really, that hasn't already been said?
Take
about
us back.
My dad. I feel like I bring him up not only on this show, but if you listen to Rowan Man Report, Echo Sports, I feel like I bring him up a lot just because the only...
He actually sounds like a more interesting person than you, so that's why we had him in here.
Most
so.
Definitely. And the... I mean, people always...
I think your mom might agree, too.
Yes. People
She's
always...
giggling in the corner there.
Trivia has always kind of been a thing of mine, especially sports trivia. And, you know, whenever people go to trivia nights, whatever, they always like, oh, Jeff, come to trivia night, you know. And a lot of that comes from my dad. I never know anybody who knows as much about sports, especially baseball, as my dad. And a lot of my fandom. Well,
shut up and let's ask him about baseball.
I'm getting to it. You asked me to say something about my dad. Okay, I'm trying to say something here.
I ruined your moment. My bad.
But a lot of my fandom comes from my dad. And I'm glad. I'm happy to have you on the show. Dad, how's it going? I mean, how do you feel about being on the Kansas City Baseball Vault?
Oh, I'm excited.
All right. That's right.
He's got the same, you know, just look at me. Hey. You know, moxie, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
If you can believe it. Hey, I had to get it from somewhere. Am I right?
Randy, walk us through what growing up in Kansas City as a baseball fan kid, as a sports fan in Kansas City, what was that like?
Well, you know, as a fan of the A's, we were always threatened that they were going to move. Mm-hmm. And it was sometimes rather discouraging because everybody liked going, and it was a great place to go to a ball game. And we did have a lot of players, as Jim Gentile said, a lot of players came through here and left and went somewhere else, which it seems to have carried through to the current day.
Something's never changed, right?
It seems like it never changes. But, you know, it was a lot of fun, and it was, you know, you'd go to the stadium, and in order to park, you would park in people's front yards, and the people, all the neighbors made money by letting people park in their yard, and then you'd get blocked in and couldn't get out. So
you just have to hang out.
Yeah, you just have to wait until somebody came that was blocking you and moved their car so you could get out.
Now, what part of town did you grow up in?
In the south part of Kansas City.
South part of Kansas City?
Yeah, not real far from where, you know, Jeff grew up as well. And so, you know, my dad was, when growing up, he was not a huge sports fan. As I got older and started participating myself, he became more of a fan, but every year he would make sure that we would always go to a handful of games. And there was one game that he made sure we went to every year, and that was called Farmer's Night at the old stadium. And they would have cow milking contests. The players would get out and milk cows. They would chase greased pigs. They had square dancing. They would take each player to their position on a horse or
This is the Charlie
wagon.
Finley A's, right?
The Charlie Finley A's.
This is A's
in the 60s.
You know who the best cow milker player there was?
I'm dying to know, Jeff. Who is this?
Ken the Hawk Harrelson. And who are we going to see Saturday?
I'm going to meet him on Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah. You can put it on the cow. Yes.
We'll ask him about it. He'll have fun with that.
Yeah. We'll have to do that. That's awesome. That just sounds insane. I mean, that's very, very folksy, I would guess. You know, very... Yeah. I don't know. You go out to the Royals game now, and it's so scripted, and you got the annoying squeaky girl with the whatever. Hey, you know,
we've almost made it through our entire run without bringing that up.
I know, my bad.
Now you had to ruin it.
But I mean, I'd like to see Eric Hosmer chase a greased pig. Who wouldn't?
It was
David Price night. Wouldn't you like to see David Price chase a greased pig?
Don't joke about these things.
Sorry.
Hawk used to ride Charlie O too out there.
Ride the mule. And
he used to ride the mule.
Goats in the grass.
He did it all.
Even when I was younger, I remember it was even still a little bit more fan and family friendly, if you will, because they had those autograph nights where you'd come and you'd go. A game would be at 7 o'clock at night, and you'd go out there at like 4 o'clock. And you'd bring your baseball card. And I remember, I mean, I was really young, but I vaguely remember it. You'd bring me out there, and, you know, I mean, the line for George Brett would be all the way down the spiral, you know, concourse or whatever. But, you know, you went around and did stuff. I mean, why don't they do stuff like that anymore? You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that if David Glass started doing that, he'd endear himself to fans just a little bit more.
Well, if he started showing up. Anyway, what's
a different topic.
What is your earliest baseball memory in Kansas City? Remember the first game you went to?
You know, the first game I remember going to was one of those Farmers' Nights.
Yeah.
And because, like I say, my dad made sure that we went every year. I remember that he would always try and go see the Yankees. And I remember seeing the Yankees in Mickey Mantle's last season. And, I mean, I wasn't very old, but a lot of those things stuck in my memory. And those were the things that stick out the most because I would do it with my dad because he worked shift work. And so he would work a lot of times from 4 to midnight or 8 to 4 or midnight to 8. And so I would not always be able to not see him that a lot of times.
Right.
And so going to those baseball games was one way that he and I had time to spend together.
Now, did you get your green bat on bat day? Did you ever
yes,
go on
I
bat
did.
Day? There you go.
I got
He's
a green
got
bat,
it at home. He's got a
and
big
I still
case
have
on it.
It.
And
I still have it, and it was
down in the basement right now.
Yeah, the one I have is signed by Campy Campaneros.
On Facebook.com/, and it's a big old long, it's Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. Facebook.com/, that whole thing. There, you, like last week, you had somebody posted pictures of Bat Day on there. And really, or the green bat that everybody got. Yeah. That was really, really cool. And that's a great Facebook page, by the way. It's just people just post every day, just old pictures.
Yeah. I get notifications stadium, on there every day of all kinds
great.
Of cool stuff.
It's amazing how many people participate on our Facebook page from all over the country. And we got a lot of people from overseas even. And you know, you grew up here in Kansas City. And the great thing about it, wherever you go, it's a great link back to Kansas City is through baseball.
So, now, tell me about the first time you took Jeff to a ball game.
Well,
he's sitting there with a pad of paper and scribbling notes out.
No, I think he was pretty
young, and
we probably actually took him to one of the days that he was kind of talking about. And the Royals would have an autograph day, but what they would do is station players around the outfield, and they had ropes on the warning track, and you could get on the field before the game, and you'd walk around and you'd stop at one of the players, and they would take pictures or sign your autographs. And you know, that was one of that was probably the first time we took him to a game, was for one of those autograph days, so we could walk around and have him see the players up close before we went to the game.
Jeff, same question for you. What do you remember about that?
I vaguely remember snapshots of the autograph days. I think they kind of stopped that by the time I really got old enough to really remember. But you know, you talked about going to see Mickey Mantle's last season. I remember one of my most vivid earliest memories was we went to Nolan Ryan's last season. We went,
yes.
And my parents' season tickets, they split them with like 10 different people, but they're pretty good seats right on that front row by the third baseline. At the time, that's when the visitors' dugout was, and we got there early, and Nolan Ryan like walked right past us, and I remember we had our cameras and out there taking. I remember thinking that was just like so really cool, because I mean, everybody liked Nolan Ryan. I had a big poster in my room of Nolan Ryan, and it had all his stats, you know, 7 complete games and whatever. And he's basically, to 10-year-old Jeff, or David Price is to me now as Nolan Ryan was to 10-year-old Jeff, I guess you could say.
Through his very first no-hitter in Royal State. Yeah,
not everybody loved Nolan Ryan, though. You know, Robin Ventura.
Who doesn't? Robin Ventura, right.
Robin Ventura comes to mind quickly as he pounded his face in.
Thank you, Jeff.
And actually, I've got something. My dad's probably a little bit of a modest guy, at least more so than I am. So he probably wouldn't bring this up. But Dad, I know that you had we've talked before on this show and on the Royal Man Report about the baseball academy that you and Kaufman did, and the open tryouts that he would have and everything. And, and you had a little bit of experience with that, I believe. So can you share that with us?
Well, they used to have a tryout camp at the stadium, and they would have. You went out there to try out for the baseball academy. And I played baseball from the time I was probably 5 years old until I was in college. And so I kind of had this brilliant idea that I would go out there and just see what I could do. And
they take everybody
and you line them up. For infielders, you line them up at the shortstop position. They hit you ground balls. You throw the ball to first. They see how you could do. You know, I did okay. And so the guy asked me how old I was, and at the time I think I was 16, and he goes, well, we can't really even talk to you. You're too young. So I never really followed up, and I'm not saying that I would have had any kind of a career, but it was fun to go out there because I did it just on a lark. And
so in an alternate reality, was there a her to white to Aikens double play combination, you know, somewhere, you know, I don't know.
And I know this may be some of a stretch to those that know me, but my dad was just slightly more athletic than I am, believe it or not.
Are you kidding?
That's surprising when you see my physique.
I don't know,
but trust me, I think that's the truth. But
did you play a little youth soccer in there somewhere? Maybe.
I mean, I actually played a lot of sports when I was a kid. I played baseball. My dad was my coach when I played baseball, and I played soccer and basketball and. I was a state champion lacrosse player, but that's neither here nor there. And what about you talked kind of about the A's. What about the Royals when they first moved here and kind of what's what your first greatest Royals memory that you had?
Well, I remember actually going to one of the games on the first homestand in 69. And I think two out of the three games went into extra innings. And the Royals won, and I think they beat the Twins, who at the time were the top team in the West. And so I just remember going out to the games, those long games.
The Lou Piniella years.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, and then once the new stadium opened, I remember with just riding the bus out there on my own. I wasn't old enough to drive, and a couple of us would get on the bus, and my parents would take us to the bus stop, and we'd ride out to the stadium and watch the game and come and then ride back.
It was kind of fun, though, when remember when they were naming the team?
Yeah.
That was kind of fun when we were all, you know, you got to ride in and send in your name for the team.
What was your name, Jeff?
Lord, who knows?
The Poopy Pantses, the Kansas City Jerks.
I think I sent in the Campy Campanarises
or something. The Campy Campanarises.
You know exactly what you wrote in. I didn't want them to leave, so I think I was going to have the Campanarises. But it was kind of neat to, you know, when they wrote in, and I remember when they first sent out the, when they named them, and they sent out the stickers of the Royal and everything, and I was like, what the hell is that?
Now, I remember mailing the Royals, a card or a postcard or something. They would send you back that sticker that I would put on my notebook in class. Yeah. You know, the Royals with the slanted Royals. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, they used to do cool stuff like that.
I remember
they used to send, and then everybody who sent in a card would get a Christmas card back.
Yeah, and there was something similar too when George Brett had his 3,000th hit. Was it? Did you send in the newspaper if you had a ticket or something, and they send you back? You know, obviously you paid for it too, but they sent you back the framed thing.
Sent you a framed. Yeah, it's framed. He got the hit in Anaheim. So they sent us a card. A postcard that was postmarked that day.
Yeah, and it was postmarked
paper,
with a thing. Yeah.
And all. It was kind of neat. So.
Well, hey, we're going to pause that real quick. We're going to take another set of commercials. When we come back, we'll talk. We'll finish up our conversation with Randy Herr, and we'll talk a little Steven Strasburg here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Among the laborers at Royal Stadium is a sheet metal worker who dreams of playing here. This unlikely dream was given wing when Frank White passed a tryout for Ewing Kauffman's new baseball academy.
The Vault.
Hey Siri, what's good to listen to tonight?
I have several books on tape. Perhaps one about your drinking problem?
No. What kind of podcasts do you have?
I have an excellent podcast for Royals fans. It's called The Royalman Report.
Oh yeah? What's it about?
It's about everything Royals and Kansas City sports. There's statistics, analysis, and lots of off-topic humor.
Can you tell me where to find it?
No, I'm only a cell phone.
Seriously?
No, I'm just joking. I'm quite the comedian. You can find The Royalman Report at royalmanreport.com or kingsofkauffman.com or catch the show live, Sundays at 7 p.m.
Thanks, Siri. You're really helpful. Catch The Royalman Report every Sunday night at 7, live on royalmanreport.com or anytime on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
So, a doctor, a lawyer, and Chris gets walk into a bar.
It's hard to find quality work at reasonable prices for all your home repair needs. With Kermsey Construction, we can give you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. We are licensed and insured. With 30 years of experience, we give free estimates and are log home certified. Call Kermsey Construction at 816-419-4232. Serving Jackson County and all surrounding areas. 816-419-4232. If it has to do with your home, we can fix it.
Welcome back to Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510 AM on the AM dial. I want to tell you briefly about Jay Catering. I'll give you a hint. Jay stands for Jeff. Excuse me. Cough button.
Way specializing. To use that cough button.
Thank you. Actually, my cough button doesn't work. Does it? It does work. Specializing in all your corporate and business needs. Give Jeff a call, 913-961-0929. I had a person come up to me off the street and tell me that they have used you and your catering service, and they said it was very, very tasty.
Well, I thought there for a second you said they'd used me. I said, I've been used all my life, so I got it.
But call
have
Jeff.
Have we done the Kermsey?
Yeah, we just did it.
We did the Kermsey thing? Well, I want to tell everyone that they definitely need to use Kermsey Construction because they have my house torn to pieces right now.
Sweet.
I can't even go in the house.
Can't do it?
No, it's a mess. But
so we need people to use them so that they have more motivation to finish your house.
Yes, to get out of my house and move on.
Jay Catering, Kermsey Construction, senior healthcare professionals, they've been just tremendous sponsors. And also the Kansas City T-Bones. And to that end, Jeff Herr, we have a trivia question. Folks can call us at 913-491-8255 and win T-Bones tickets for what night, Jeff?
T-Bones tickets for August 19th, which Sunday. May very well be the last home game, or last homestand. But as Chris said, Biker Day. As Chris said, you can call 913-491-8255 with the answer to this question for one of two four-packs to the T-Bones game on Sunday, August 19th. Question is, Jim Gentile, arguably his best season, was the famed baseball season of 61, and I don't know how do you verbalize an asterisk besides saying it, but we'll put it in there.
Yep.
This is the year that Maris topped Mantle and the Babe, and the year that would later be so influential for Billy Crystal that he would make a movie about it.
Great movie.
Very good, by the way.
Very underrated movie.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Absolutely. Anyway, in that year, Roger Maris won the American League MVP easily, as he should have. So for T-Bones tickets, one of two four-packs, tell us who won the National League MVP in 1961, asterisk. For one of two four-packs tickets for August 19th, 913-491-8255 is the phone number. Give us a call, give Shane the answer, and we'll set you up with some T-Bone tickets.
Even if you just, whatever. If you just want to go to T-Bones.
You don't even have to give an answer. Just call in and say, hey, I want tickets. We'll give them to you.
Because we haven't had a trivia question in a while, and frankly, we love the folks that listen to the show every week. We know you're out there. There's several hundred people.
We probably don't even know the answer anyway, so if you said anything, you're going to win.
It's just whatever.
We didn't have an answer
Michael
right
Jordan.
Now. We just thought that'd be a cool question.
We were talking with Randy Herr, Jeff's father, about growing up a baseball fan in Kansas City, and you were telling us about an exchange you had with the Glass family where you did not punch them in the face off air. Tell us a little bit about that.
No, I was just at a charity function, and he attended. It was around the All-Star game this year, and so I just introduced myself and I started talking to him, and he was very pleasant and very personable, and he started talking about how the team was moving in the right direction, and he was looking forward to the future. And then I asked him a couple of questions, and he kind of deferred to his son Dan, who was standing right there, and implied Dan is the person who runs the baseball team, so he would know better than I would.
Let me tell you, that scares the living crap out of me, because Dan is just, I don't know.
And see, my dad is a little bit more of a my dad is a little bit more of a cooler head, and he does not have a Casey Royal man there to egg him on.
That's a good point.
Like on the Royal Man Report a couple weeks ago when him and I got into it about David Glass and the Walmart was involved somehow. I don't even remember.
Now, would you rather have David Glass or Ted Lerner as your owner? Because Ted Lerner is the owner of the Washington Nationals, who decided this week that they would what did they say, Shane? That they would just shut Steven Strasburg down the last 2 weeks of the season, regardless of whether they're in a pennant hunt or not.
Yeah, once he got to his workload that they had set up before the season even started, because he's coming back from Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, they decided in spring training, not just kind of figuring that they would just have a typical Washington Nationals season, and yet, here they are. Are they in first place? Let me look it up.
Yeah,
they're best record in all of baseball, I believe.
Yeah,
I think they're 77-41 or something. Just
wait, I thought David Price had the best record in all of baseball.
For a single pitcher, not necessarily.
Oh,
for
okay, I'm sorry.
Yahoo has them ranked power rankings number one now.
As does Grantland. Let me give you my thoughts on this.
Well, here
if,
we go.
If you don't mind.
No, it's your show.
I mean, honestly,
your dad's here. What are you going to say?
If I am grounded. The Nationals. I guess I see it both ways, but this just has Dayton Moore written all over it. If we had Steven Strasburg, this would be exactly the move that we would make. Absolutely. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. Now, would I do this? I got to say no. I mean, the thing is, look at everyone.
Would you do what? Would you shut him down?
Oh,
you,
no, you I would say not no. shut him you would down. Not sorry, shut I would him not down. Shut okay. him down. Look at everyone from the 1985 Royals team. Look at everyone from the 1969-70 Chiefs team that won the Super Bowl. I mean, people on those teams are legends, even ones that aren't. I mean, we had Buddy Biancolana on the show.
Biancolana, this yeah. Greg Pryor is another example.
Yeah. Yeah, and no offense to them, they were a great guest, but Buddy Biancolana wasn't a great player, but everyone knows his name in Kansas City, all the Royals fans. It was because he was on that team, he played a part on that World Series team. He's more or less a legend in this town, and it's the one championship.
He was on Letterman, that's right, your mom.
And it's the one championship that we can hand off, and the Expos never won a championship, and the Nationals. I mean, who knows if they're ever going to have a chance again.
Shane, where do you come in on
picture,
this? You think it's
on the planet. You
bogus?
No, I agree completely. Like we said earlier, like you don't think – I use the example of Brett Saberhagen. Kind of similar, young pitcher, overworked earlier. Do you think he would trade that championship or his two Cy Young awards, even though the rest of his year
– Yeah, you can become a legend in your first couple of years. And yeah, I agree, except I also see him and his agent Scott Boras, right? So you're trading in theoretically, a career of longevity, a 15-year career, for a chance at being, you know, an idol to these folks. They haven't had a winning season in Washington in decades.
Yeah, I mean, plus you're looking at changing. Maybe you take a 15-year career and bump it down to 12, or maybe 10 at the most.
Maybe he blows his arm out in spring training.
Exactly, nothing is guaranteed.
But they have a legitimate
contract.
A legitimate chance to win the World Series with him pitching now.
And if the owner's making the decision, then he doesn't have to answer anybody, and it doesn't matter. But if you're a general manager and if you're the coach, if you're Davey Johnson, I mean, you're looking at that and you're saying, you know what? There's no job security in sports unless you were to win a championship. You know, I mean, if they won a World Series this year, I mean, the next 10 years you get a free pass.
They are four and a half games ahead of Atlanta in first place, well in front of first place. They won one. They're playing the Mets this week. So when are they saying they're going to shut him down? Is it like the second
innings, isn't it?
150 innings?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Joe Maddon, who coaches the Rays.
I will look at Joe
manages
Maddon,
the Rays, I should say. I mean, what do you think his job security is? I mean, what do you possibly see that could get him fired? And outside of something absolutely catastrophic,
wears funny glasses,
like going 45 and 117, there's nothing. And he didn't even win a championship. They just got there.
So could you rest him now and use him in the playoffs? And if they went to the World Series, is he still going to be effective, kind of taken off?
He's at 139.1 innings right now, so that's 11 innings left. So that's probably two starts. So
he's been averaging 5.2 innings per start.
So there you go. So that's 2.2 starts or something. So I mean it's interesting. I don't know. It's those
you would agree with which one?
Well, I was gonna say I don't agree that they shut him down necessarily, but my question too is, does it make more sense for him to skip a start here or skip a start there?
Yeah.
So that he's available for the playoffs and or World Series.
They talked about piggybacking on a start. You know, he goes out and pitches two or three innings and they have one of their long relievers come in and pitch two or three innings. And I saw a post on, I think it was by David Leske, our friend of the show.
DB Leske, yeah.
On
Pintar Press.
I believe that's who it was. If I'm mistaken, then I apologize. But talking about if Danny Duffy were to come back in 2014, and he would have a similar kind of scenario to what Steven Strasburg is. And here we are again looking to 2014. But say the Royals, you know, will go 500 next year, and they're contenders in 2014.
People,
you know,
would
and
burn
Dave Moore
that
comes
place
out
to the
exactly,
ground.
Exactly. Danny Duffy, if he came out and he was lights out, and they said, you know what, we're shutting him down. Doesn't matter.
I could
if
totally
we're 40
see Dayton
games
Moore
into
doing
first place. Absolutely. That's why I said it's a Dayton Moore move, and it would just, I mean, it would just kill everything.
It's real simple though. You're only playing baseball to win the World Series. That's it. If your goal is not to win the World Series each year, then
Scott
then,
Boras wants you to sell. You know,
well, he's not a player.
Cereal
see, here's,
and
here's
you know,
the thing too, though. If you're
that's what you're supposed to do is win the World Series, and if they have a chance to win the World Series, and that means he pitches 280 innings, you pitch him. And this shutdown stuff is
and that's
crazy.
The thing too. I mean, if you're really worried about money, first of all, winning the World Series and Steven Strasburg, say, maybe being World Series MVP, it's only going to get him more endorsements, number one. Number two,
he's set for his life.
Cutting his career short by a few years, those are the end. And he would have already negotiated a second contract, so he'd be taken care of.
Well, I can already tell that it's time to get out here because Jeff Herr's massive forehead is starting to get red. Just thinking about it, we don't want that to happen. I do want to thank Randy Herr, who was gracious enough with his time. You guys are going out to the Royals game tonight, so that's cool. Have fun tonight. It's some night. I don't know. It's Thursday. But also want to thank Diamond Jim Gentile on the program, Jeff Logan, and Michael, and Troy, who are on assignment. We're all going to be back next week. It's going to be our final night. We're going to be we're going to have 19 guests. We're going to have 12 five-way calls. We're going to make Shane earn his pay for one more week.
Shane's going to be running circles back
Check
there.
Us out on the RoyalManReport.com. This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510 AM.
What you trying to be yourself for?
KCTE, Independence, Kansas City.
San Hunt!
You're listening to ESPN 1510.